Corinthians chapter 2, the mystery of iniquity, and that led us to another study on the mysteries in the Bible. And we saw last week, just to review a little bit, we saw last week that the mystery, any form of mysteries is mentioned 27 times. And the 27th book in the Old Testament is Daniel. The book is sealed. The 27th book in the New Testament is Revelation. It is unsealed. So to me, you only get this from the King James Bible. So the word mystery by itself, without any other form, is only mentioned in the New Testament. And it's mentioned 22 times. Well, there's 22 chapters in the book of revealing of Revelation. So to me, I started seeing this, that mysteries in the Old Testament, if we defined it, we would say they're secrets. So the word secrets is a biblical word, and it's used in the Old Testament. But God says in the Old Testament, things are hid. I just want to show you this one here. Yeah, this one here. Number two here, for there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that is not come abroad. So you can see, I like to do stuff like this because if you compare, these are synoptic verses. They're the same verse from, you know, different Gospels. So Luke says the same thing. He says, for there is nothing is secret. So the word secret is something that is hid. But a mystery, what Curtis caught on last week, is something that is revealed. So mysteries, even though they're secrets, they're revealed. And it's not just a revealing spiritually of spiritual things, but they are literally going to be revealed. Like the mystery of godliness. God was seen in the flesh, was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels. So who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. And when he took on a human form, the angels welcomed him in. So we also saw last week that the mystery of iniquity. We already know it's at work. We see it's at work. But there's going to be a revelation of the unholy Trinity at some point that we are actually going to see. So it's something that actually is, the mysteries are for us. I wanted to look at this. If you look at mysteries,
your TV came back on. Who has a computer, or y'all might know this real quick, the secret place of the Most High?
He that abideth in the,
yeah, he that abideth in the secret place,
right?
Of the,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That, because you're talking about secrets and it just popped in my head.
I think it's Psalm
99. Let's see.
He who dwelleth in the
secret
place.
Yeah. Places or place?
secret
place.
Place, I think. See that.
And then I say secret place. Psalm. Secret place.
Oh, yeah. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God, and Him will I trust. That secret place. Right? That place that only those who know God can dwell.
Right.
And it's secret to everybody else.
Yeah.
But if you are in Him, if you're in Him, He is your fortress, He's your refuge, you can trust in Him. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from every noisome pestilence.
That's right.
He will cover you with the feathers of His wings, and Him you will trust.
That's right.
Right? And so, understanding these secrets comes first with a great understanding of the Most High God.
Absolutely.
And are you willing to dwell under the shelter of His wings?
We said this Tuesday. You will be judged on what you believed.
Yes.
Did you believe this? Did you believe this, or did you believe men? Did you trust in the guy in the pulpit, or, you know, somebody giving you some other doctrine of man, or do you believe this?
Right.
Because believing this is life-changing.
Yes.
And that's how you know somebody is actually a Christian. That's great stuff. So to me, these mysteries are for us. Like Curtis just said, these mysteries are for us. They're not for the lost. They don't understand the parables when they ask Jesus about the parables. Matter of fact, let's turn there because there's something else I want to show you here too. When they ask Jesus about the parables, why speak in parables? Because it's not for them to know. It is for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But I want to show you something else too, because I see a greater problem coming. I've started seeing this for maybe 2 years now, maybe since Trump's been in office, that, you know, the Christian right, you know what I mean? And they're lining up to us, the obvious mystery Babylon, the LGBTs, the pedophile people, that's obvious. They're wicked. They're evil. But there's another group that is saying they're going to save the world. You know what I mean? And it's the political Christian right that we've talked about that Trump has surrounded himself with.
I listened to a little clip. It wasn't a clip. It was an hour documentary about the Mormon religion against the Latter-day Saints. They're two different groups.
Yeah.
All right. But the Mormon religion is talking about this God now. Because we talk about it here in the pulpit and what you teach a lot, that we're going to make the world good enough that God's going to be able to return.
Yep.
And when he returns, we're going to be gods like him in rule and reign.
Curtis, and you see it. What you're seeing is you're seeing them all unite. The ones that we don't, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, the Catholics, the Orthodox, they're all uniting to fight against Jezebel. The Jezebel spirit, but we agree with a lot of that stuff, but they're using that that will turn on us because they are telling, like Curtis said, I think what's going to happen is the pre-trib is going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So, and when that doesn't happen, let's put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing Trump or these victories coming to the right again.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised. But it's fake because they believe that they're winning the world or the country over for Christ. Yes. This is dominionism.
Right.
And that these guys, the ones pushing it, I'll show you. We'll get into it when we get into Revelation. I got videos. I got pictures of these guys. The New Apostolic Reformation, these ones that are pushing it, that movement with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's all part of it, and they're trying to seduce people. We lost two people from here that fell for it. Mm-hmm. God doesn't speak to you like this through this anymore. He's speaking to me through another spirit.
Right?
You people are old spirit.
Right.
He doesn't talk to me through the scriptures anymore. And we lost two people here that fell for it.
Well, actually, we lost two families.
Right?
About six people.
And that time, they're the ones are going to turn on us.
Right.
Because what I've been watching with them, they're militant.
Right.
So, and this is part of it. So, the mysteries of the kingdom, I was looking at this. We're going to look at the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven real quickly. But then there's the mystery of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God says there's a mystery there. There's a mystery of Jesus Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery that God reveals the deep things, like Curtis just said, to his saints.
Right.
Those are for us. The deep things are for us. The mystery of I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Right? The resurrection. The mystery of the marriage. Right? For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. But I speak of Christ and his church, right? A mystery of iniquity we looked at the last month. Then when you get into Revelation, he starts revealing all these things to you. What are the stars? Angels in Revelation, right? And then in Revelation 10:7 says the mystery is finished.
Yeah.
And that's when we know that's Christ in Revelation.
Isn't that when God rolls the
sky
back as a scroll?
Yep.
So, and everything that we thought we knew, we realized we didn't.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I say. I mean, I say it all the time. I think we're deep here.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything. We're just scratching the surface.
We call ourselves deep, but we're really like a bug that's
right.
of the car.
So I just want to give you a hint of some of this works. Turn to Matthew 13 and Mark 4. So, and that's why I say this is part of dispensationalism. This is part of dominionism, New Apostolic Reformation. We'll get into more and more of these as we go on. But what they're going to tell you is there's a difference between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven.
Right. Yes.
They're saying it's not the same thing. Right? They'll say, well, the kingdom, I'm not sure if I get this right. I always seem to screw it up. I think what they say is the kingdom of heaven, that's for us.
Right.
You know, we're going to go up into heaven. That's for the church. And then the kingdom of God, well, that's going to be on the earth.
Right,
Is it?
Of heaven is
on the earth?
Physical manifestation and the kingdom of God being within you.
Okay.
The kingdom of God
yeah. Within you. Okay, so let's look at that. You know, I think what they're saying, Kev, from maybe that's a different version of it, but I think what they're saying is, well, one of those kingdoms is for Israel here on the earth.
Yeah, it's two different.
Yeah, and the other one is that for the church, we're going to be up in heaven.
Right.
You know, and
Matthew 19 says,
yeah.
They're both the same.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're both the same.
Yeah. So Kevin just said it. So Matthew 13:11 says, and he answered, he said to them, because it is given unto you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given and shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not him shall be taken away even that he hath. So the same thing, synoptic gospel in Mark chapter 4. Don't forget, right here he just said, it is for you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mark chapter 4, the same thing. He's talking about the same thing here. Look at 10, Mark 4, 10. And then when he was alone, there was about him, the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto him, it is given unto you know the mystery of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So it's the same kingdom. Is that a different kingdom? And like, I can't remember where it is, if you got it, Kev?
Yeah, it's Matthew 19.
It's in Matthew 19 where he literally, if you get it, go ahead.
Okay, Matthew 19 verse 22 and 24. And you'll see, he uses both verses in the same context here, or both phrases. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he says that. The next verse, 24, and again, same thought, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, same rich man,
right.
Into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Same
kingdom.
Right.
So it's synonymous.
Yep. Same man.
It's the same, right? Same kingdom, same man. That's why God does this. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that people were going to come along and say, well, they're not the same.
Right.
You know, this is dominionism. This is what the dispensational does. It chops everything up. It splits you up from the Old Testament saints from the New Testament saints. And you constantly hear this. We're in this church age. We've been in the church age ever since Adam fell.
Yeah,
that's when God started building his church. And what happened in the New Testament, he started adding Gentiles to it. Okay, so I just wanted to look at that to clear it up, because that's what you hear. You will hear stuff like this as we move forward. And like I say, to me, these things are important because we're the ones who are going to have the answers. We're the ones who are going to respond. And, you know, like Kev said, I've noticed it with me. There's something that offends them, and they will throw you out, and they will hate you, and I think persecution will come. And it's what we believe.
Yeah, right.
That we're going to go through the tribulation. We're going to go through great tribulation. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be martyred. And then Jesus Christ is going to come.
And those who will be against you will be them of your own household.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. What's the verse says, them, you think that they're doing God's service,
yes.
Right? That they're going to persecute you? That's them. That they, you know, oh, these people, you know, we proved that we're winning. That's why I would not be surprised if we're, guess what? The right is winning the culture war. They're winning it. They're winning the culture war. People are speaking out against transgenderism, against the children, going after the children. They're literally winning the culture war. And what if they do win it? And it's the new, because if they win it, what we believe seems to go out the window, right? Because now dominionism takes place.
Yeah.
Oh, we're winning the people back over, and then Christ is going to come. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that's the one that we have to look out for.
Yeah.
Mystery Babylon, they're obvious. They're wicked. They're evil. They hate children. They hate you. They hate us. They're perverted. The devil wants you dead. They're the obvious one. But there's another false kingdom awakening
sown
coming up.
Amongst
yes.
The wheat,
yes.
The bears and the wheat.
Yes.
That parable.
Yep.
So they're in amongst us.
It's right.
Or we're in amongst them.
It's right.
Regardless of how you put it, but it's blended together.
Because, Curtis, our theology, our doctrine does not align with dominionism.
Right.
Even though right now we're on the same page fighting against darkness.
Right.
But our theology does not align with them, and they will turn on us.
The only difference is the folks who believe in the name it and claim it stuff, they're only fighting it on the surface.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Homosexuality is not the problem.
That's right.
Child molesting is not the problem.
That's right.
These are the results of a problem.
Yes.
The problem is the kingdom, prince of the power of the air.
Yep.
That's infecting the people of the earth and perverting their minds, their thoughts, because they don't love the truth, and God gave them over because they would not love the truth.
Because they want this fleshly world.
Right.
They want the fruits of a fleshly world, and they want to rule over that.
Because they knew God.
That's
they
right.
Did not glorify him
That's
as
right.
God.
That's right.
So God gave them over to a debased.
See, we get it. This world is evil. This
yeah.
is not my world. But the dominionists, they want this world. They want to live in this world. And that not only, there's rewards would come with it.
Yeah.
Like Trump, I believe he's clearly no Christian.
No, no.
But I do believe that he is centered around dominionists.
Yes. Amen.
And I do believe that he thinks that God is going to give him America to rule over for 1,000 years. That's what dominionism is, that they believe that we're going to win everybody back over, we're going to even defeat him physically.
Right.
They believe that. And then Christ will come back and you know, Wendy, you can have Caledonia. Kevin, you can have Greece. You could be ruler in Greece. You know what I mean? This is what dominionism is, and it's because they're the victims.
Right.
They're the victims against Jezebel and this wicked spirit. We're not victims. We've sinned against God. That's the problem.
Christ, we are more than conquerors.
That's right.
But again, it's the difference of seeing trees as spiritual beings
yes.
or bushes, or mountains as visions on a horizon or kingdoms.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
There's both are true, but if you only see one, then you miss the other.
Yeah, I say it again. I like some of these guys. I watch, like Matt Walsh. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
They're all united together. I even remember when Kanye West came out and
yeah.
he said, I'm now... He's so New Age, it's not funny.
Right.
And he spoke at Joel Osteen's
yes.
church,
yeah.
right? And this is the deception. This is a deception that there's a awakening, a spiritual awakening, and we're going to win America back for Christ. And you're going, this is not my world.
Well, that's not what the scripture points to.
That's right.
You know, individual revival, like in my personal heart, my personal life, I can have revival. But there's not going to be a national
There is
revival.
Not. The Bible does not teach that.
Right.
It does not teach a revival.
Right.
The revival comes within you.
Yes.
You're being revived. You're being revived. But to think that there's this global or American revival that's going to take place.
The utopia.
I grabbed a lot of those.
Right.
We're going to see them with some of those videos. These guys are speaking in tongues. You should see the way they act on stage. It's like they're possessed.
And they would say that they're possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yep.
the scripture plainly says that the Holy Spirit isn't an author of confusion.
Yeah. You know, and Curtis, and we've brought this up before. These are guys that were making predictions.
Yes.
What is the, you know, Trump's going to win again. Because
no, he's already in office.
Yeah.
I heard this just the other day. That he's already
he's running
in
the show.
Power. He's running
yeah.
the show.
Yep. That's because they can't accept the fact that they were wrong.
Lots of people really, folks that used to come to this body during the COVID crisis.
That he is in control
that
right
he is
now.
Absolutely
yeah,
the
one yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I say. I mean, what did the Bible say about a prophet if somebody gets something
wrong?
One time, Wendy.
Yeah.
One time. And this has not been one time. This is over and
right.
over again. And then they go away, and you forget the prophecy that they made.
Right.
You know, I still got it right here, that sheet that was handed to me that said, we're all going to be dead
yeah.
by 2023.
Yeah.
This,
well,
you know, look, I know they want to kill us all.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Yeah.
See, this it sounds biblical. It sounds right. It even sounds prophetic. But there's a setup coming from within us
right.
that they are going to turn on us. We're fighting two battles.
Yeah.
We're clearly fighting the evil, the wicked. I'm all for saving little children and speaking against transgenderism and LGBT. But there's another enemy coming that looks like us, that is going after them, that is going to turn on us.
Right. Well, we should only be fighting one battle.
Come on, brother.
All right? The battle is against those who proclaim themselves as Christ.
That's right.
Of God, and fighting the other way.
That's right.
Okay? Those who don't believe in Christ, we don't have to fight a battle with them. All we have to do is plant the seed.
That's right.
We have to spread the word.
That's right.
And, you know, often too many times, I know he's ready to say the prayer, so you want to keep it up. Man, walk away.
Right.
The best
Amen.
You can do is plant the seed and walk away. And I haven't yet seen a farmer who plants the seed, goes back and digs it up. Are you ready to grow yet?
Right.
Come on, grow.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
To grow.
Right.
And that's how we act as Christians.
Well, I think, Alan, like you said, I think that's what's going on here, even as small as we are, because you look at these New Apostolic Reformation or the Dominionist or the Name It and Claim It churches, they're mobbed. They're mobbed with people. They're packing them in. Why? Because they're being, the congregation is being fed what they want to hear,
mm-hmm.
what they want to hear. That's why we're small in numbers here, because we tell the truth. Hey, we're going to get persecuted. They're going to kill us. They're going to turn on us. We tell the truth here. And no, they don't want to hear it. And I've seen it firsthand, even within a church, where I started speaking out against pre-tribulation. And they said, you keep that up, we're going to tell you to leave. Within a King James Bible Baptist church. And I said, well, why can't we discuss it? Why can't we have the discussion? It's in our doctrine, it's in our church doctrine, and if you keep this up, we're going to tell you to leave. Why can't we have the discussion?
And then God brought you here.
But the thing is,
set free.
It's like they can't fall on Christ. They can't fall on God. They have to try to understand. They have to feel
yes.
like they've got the plan. They're
yeah.
trying to understand the divine.
Yep.
And they
you
never
can,
will.
Cannot
you
do
depend
it.
On him day by day, hour
yes.
by hour.
Yes.
And he will guide us. It is not for him to say, no, Wendy, this is the plan. I just, you know, turn to Isaiah, turn to the... I read the Bible, I know his word. That's what I'm asked to do. You know, that's what he wants me to do. So I learn about him through this. But you've got to be careful that you're taking it and saying, okay, now I know just what God said. No, you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you
that's
don't.
Right.
You're absolutely, moment to moment, dependent
that's
on
right.
his goodness, on his grace and his mercy. And these people are convinced that somehow they're going to play this big part.
Yes.
It's,
yeah.
It's
I'm telling you, what you're seeing,
done.
What you're
right.
seeing, the New Apostolic Reformation, prosperity gospel, the dominionists, the dispensationalists, it's for themselves.
Yes.
It's self-centered.
Yes.
They want to live in their fleshly yes. world. They want all the desires of this world, and they want to bring it in.
So, Tommy, even the phrase, New Apostolic.
Yeah.
Yes.
But think about the word.
New.
Yeah.
New
that's right.
Apostolic.
New apostles.
Yeah.
New apostles.
What does Revelation say about apostles?
It's
we know it. We've studied it here on a Tuesday. There are no apostles. When the last apostle died, there are no apostles. There's 12, and then there was the 13th with Paul.
Right.
There are no apostles, right?
Yeah.
But yet, in Revelation, it says they say they're apostles and are not.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
to me, God knew exactly what was going on.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that that new apostolic, the name it and claim it, prosperity, it's new age.
Yes.
It's new age. They're linked together, and you'll see it when we get into Revelation 2. You will see how a lot of what they believe is linked to the New Age. And they'll even say, where your Bible says, what is the sign of coming in the end of the world?
Right. They say age.
They say age. So what happens, Wendy, when that old age dies? You have a new age. 1,000 years of a new age.
Yeah, really.
Wasn't that the whole thing about Clarence Larkin? He had
yes.
different dispensation
yes.
ages.
Yep.
Pre-Adamic,
yep.
Adamic, Moses is
yeah the law,
the
government, the church,
church age,
right?
Well, wasn't that a Bible that they made, the New Age Bible?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, this is one of those trigger words where your Bible says the end of the world.
Right.
That's it. The world is coming to an end someday. He's going to burn it with fervent heat. But they say, oh, no, no, it's not the, why? Because they still want this world.
Right.
And they want dominion over it.
And I feel ashamed. I feel it's crazy that I would ever trust. I'm sorry, that I would ever trust what a man is saying, what people will swallow.
We did it. We all did it.
We swallowed. We were taught evolution.
Yep.
We were taught in professors in universities. Physicians,
grammar school
lawyers, all, you're an idiot if you think that it's creation. Creation?
Yeah.
Backwards. You're educated?
Yeah.
I mean, I took my share of it because I believe in creation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was a joke. It made me a religious kind of like a little Amish woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just like.
Extremist.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, even all what you were talking about, college and high school. Oh, I mean, I remember, and I haven't been in school for like 1,000,004 years. There was the alphabet, then there was the numbers that went through 1 to 0, which I always thought was stupid, because you start with 0, not end with 0. And then there was a monkey, and then the monkey became an upright monkey, and then eventually he's walking with a briefcase.
Yeah, yeah.
How could anybody have believed that?
I have no idea.
We are sheep. We really are sheep.
Yes.
He uses that analogy appropriately.
Yeah.
They say the donkey has intelligence. You notice that Jesus never said, we're his donkey.
That's right. Yeah.
He picked that term wisely.
And Wendy, like you said to me, that's the obvious one to me. The one that is subtle is the one that looks churchish.
Right.
The one that looks biblical.
It starts there.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Then the church says,
yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm educated, and I don't want to look stupid.
Right? That's right.
So I guess I'll...
Well,
yep.
With that, what we're going to do is between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3, we're going to stick a million billion years in there.
Yeah.
Let's make this work.
Let's make this... We can make this work. We can bend it to our... I used to call this thing Fabian understanding of time. The Fabian glass window that they made says it has two guys pouring molten lead into a world globe, and two other men pounding it, and underneath it in Latin it says, we shall create the world in our image.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
And that is the Fabian understanding of things.
Yep.
Right?
That's exactly what you're saying.
Way, way, way back.
And it's in the church.
And it's in the church.
Oh, they're not separated from the world. And they look no different.
In that glass window, there's the Pope on one side watching them do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so mysteries, you can see here, there's a whole bunch of them. Titus, the mystery of his glorious appearing. The mystery of what we're going to be like. And Colossians and 1 John 3:2 says, it does not appear what we shall be like, but we shall be him. Mm-hmm. We shall be like him when we shall see him. And of course, that's the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20-24 says, I show you a mystery. Right. Shall not all sleep, but all shall be changed. Now, the mystery of that Christ is coming to judge the quick and the dead. These are all mysteries to the lost. The Hebrews 9:26, that he's coming the second time,
mm-hmm.
right? He's not coming 2.0 and then 3. He's coming one more time. He's been here once. He's coming one more time.
It really is.
The day of his coming. The day of his coming is not a 7-year period. It's a mystery to them. See, they're going to fall for it, Curtis. It's not a 3.5-year period. It's not a 1,000-year period. It is a day of his coming. The mystery is going to be revealed in first trial. Your trial is going to be by fire. And what's he going to do? He's going to burn up the earth. And the only thing left standing is the thing that he's going to purify.
Right.
Right? And his glory to be revealed. Okay, so this, I love this right here. This is my favorite out of these mysteries. Look at, let's turn to Romans 16. I don't know if one's more important than the other, but this is huge. The mystery of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't find a bad one in the book.
Right?
Some really, scriptures really jump out.
Yeah, there are some that are different, you know.
The way the King James just puts this, it's magnificent. 16:24. Okay. Am I right here? The grace of our Lord Christ be with you. Amen. Yeah, okay. Now to him that had the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, here you go, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures and prophets according to the commandments, the commandment of the everlasting God, make known to all nations the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So,
amen.
Right? This is great stuff. The mystery of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Right? Who's, you see it right here. Look at all these. Who walked in the garden? Who's calling Adam? Christ. Right?
God walked in the cool of the
garden. It's right. Who's calling him? Who was in the ark that said, hey, Noah, get your kids and come in the ark. Come thou in the ark. That means there's somebody in the ark telling Noah to come in the ark. Who shut the door of the ark? Christ.
And sealed it.
Who created the universe? Christ. Here's this revelation of a mystery of the Old Testament. Who appeared with the two angels to Abraham and blessed him? Christ, and I believe probably Michael and Gabriel were with him. I believe could have been two other ones. Okay, look at Genesis 32, because I like these. 32, 20.
Well, the cool thing about angels is they're more than what's written in the Bible.
Exactly. So yeah.
There's an innumerable host.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a lot.
A bunch of them, you know?
That's a lot.
More than just Mike and Gabe, I tell you. There's a bunch of them. Revelation there?
32.
Revelation doesn't have 32.
No, Genesis 32. If I say something wrong, just follow the TV.
Yeah. I was looking over there. I didn't see a Revelation.
Yeah, I'm a Revelation guy, that's for sure. Okay, so 32, Genesis 32:24-32. You want to read, Kev?
Yeah,
24 to 32.
Okay. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob.
Come on, this is beautiful.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Mm-hmm. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with Ben, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of the Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank.
Hold on. You see it? Yeah. Right? He's wrestling with God, but yet he's wrestling with a man. He's asking him, what's your name? Does he answer him what his name is? He doesn't give him the answer. Look at the...
No, in fact, he hurts him.
Yeah, that'll learn you.
You're going to pop your hip out of joint. I don't know if y'all ever had an arm or so, a joint falling out of place. That hurts. A hip hurts a lot.
Okay, keep going. Deuteronomy 8. So you can see right here, these are, what are they called? Theophanies?
Christophanies.
Yeah, so you can see this is starting to take place. He's there. He's in the Old Testament. And he's called God.
Yeah.
He calls him God. Deuteronomy 8, Kevin Connell, 8:15-16. Ah, okay.
Went thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good, and at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth.
How far did you want me to go?
15 and 16. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so who's the one here who gave him water out of the rock? Who's the one who fed him the manna? Who?
Who was the rock?
Turn to 1 Corinthians 10.
That starts in 14.
Go ahead, Alan.
It says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forgot the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee in the great and terrible wilderness, where the fiery serpents and the scorpions and the drought were, there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock and the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness. So it's not a question.
That's right.
This is the one.
He's saying, I'm the one. I'm that guy.
Right.
Yeah. Right? So who's the one who brought water out of the rock? Who's the one who gave manna? First Corinthians 4. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. This is why your King James Bible is just perfect. It tells you who's who. Moreover, 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that spiritual meat. It's the same thing he's saying right there. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual, capital R, rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Amen.
There's the answer. Jesus is God. He's not a God, right? He is God. He is the Son of God manifest in the flesh.
And if he's your Lord,
that's right,
then you walk in him.
How can you read these verses and have him not be your Lord?
I know.
Right? You can't make this up.
Because of the deceiver. Where do we keep all of our information now? In the cloud.
Right. Right.
God's the real cloud.
That's right. That's right.
When we want to know something, we Google it, and where do we find it? In the cloud.
That's right.
All of your pictures are in the cloud. All of your information is in the cloud. But that's the cloud of this world. It's the place of the power of the air.
And they want to take that cloud, and they want to shove it into your brain through a phone.
To meet all of your needs.
Yes.
My grandkid, God bless him, I love him to pieces. He blessed me. He bought me 5 pounds of gummies. All right, but he did it through the internet, right? He didn't go to a store and do it. Great, I'm very happy he did. You're going to see me fatter in a couple days than what you do now.
That's what I mean. You get mallow cups.
Yeah, but you see, this younger generation totally depends. Their banking stuff is in the cloud.
Yeah.
Their phone stuff is in the cloud. Their information is in the cloud. No, it's not. It really isn't.
They're dependent.
The farther we go down the road, the more I'm convinced you were correct years ago.
Yeah. That this is
the enemy.
Yeah.
And you are being fed by the enemy.
Yes.
The internet. The
It is the beast. It's the umbilical cord. We're feeding off the potential of evil.
They're dependent on technology. Yes. And that's what the devil needs.
Yes.
And talk about the fact that I went to a flip phone and I'm still the one that's nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still the one that's like, I had Christians say, I couldn't do it on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Go ahead, Alan.
Well, the biggest thing is we're setting the generation up now that when they are ordering gummies on the cloud, and then they come back to the Bible and they read the cloud, that's the same cloud.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the cloud is a cloud.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And what are the clouds?
AI has been around from the beginning because God let them in the cloud.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. Because their God is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He needs to work through man's technology.
And so they use the same verbiage, the same noun.
You're right.
What about the apple?
The apple.
With the bite out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. AI. Yeah. It could be AK, artificial knowledge.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Look. Yeah. Kevin, we know that the fruit wasn't an apple. I don't know what it was, but the world assumes it was an apple. And the Beatles started this when they started Apple Productions, and there was a bite out of the apple. Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence.
God will knock him off.
It's right. They're being led by a spirit that says bite of the apple.
Yeah.
Have the knowledge of the tree of good and evil.
Where did we get that it was an apple?
Right.
Right. That. All of our pictures that depict Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
it's an apple.
They're eating that. There's a bite out of it.
16th century.
Yeah,
before beetles.
That's right.
The bugs, right? This idea that fruit was an apple.
That's right.
And now it's come to your iPhone. It's your artificial intelligence.
We are so easily
manipulated.
They were talking about the fact that there's a congressional meeting, and they were talking about the fact that we are being deceived on a military.
Yes,
we are being deceived all the time. They are using all those things they learned through mind control. They are using those things. It's
fifth-gen
warfare.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's fifth-gen warfare.
Yeah.
And it is. It's. Well, I'm just seeing it more and more that the enemy uses the reality of the heavenly reality.
It's new age.
It's new age.
It's
that
new
is
age.
What it is. It's
yep.
new age.
Yep. They're going to bring in a better world, a better life through technology.
And ecumenicalism.
Yeah. Yes, they're all going to get on the same page. That's what I said. How is it that you're seeing people line up, Mormons lining up with... I was watching that thing where Glenn Beck was talking about Kanye. Did you see that? He's saying, well, Kanye, he's now a Christian, and he could be the hammer that leads us back to Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that guy's about as new age as you could get.
Yeah. And as much as I like Glenn Beck, and I do, I like his new stuff, he is deceived.
Oh, they are.
He is absolutely
and I,
deceived.
I'm a Matt Walsh. I like Matt Walsh.
Like Matt
he's deceived.
Yes. And we know. I like the thing, and we know.
Right.
But he is absolutely ignorant about scriptural stuff.
Yep. They're trying to win this culture battle for Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's not how this works.
Dan Shapiro.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
Ben Shapiro is about as liberal as you can get.
Yeah.
But yet now, J.C. Pierce, all these guys, they're about as liberal. J.C. Pierce is a new ager.
Right.
And he's lining up with Christian right.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's going on?
The Christian right is lining up with them. Go ahead.
They're really working for the devil.
Absolutely.
Yes, they're really working for the devil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. And I wish Gail and Dave were here because they'd be saying amen and amen.
Oh, I know.
They've been pointing to this since they came
yes.
here.
Well, you know, and Kevin shared something with me, too, that I started seeing this, the Jehu thing. I saw that like 5 years ago. Jehu's the devil. He's not Christ. We'll get into it. Go read it.
Yeah.
Go read the story, the account of Jehu. Jehu's not a good person.
Bible. Yeah. I thought you were talking
like
a
Conway.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, let's just get back on subject. So the bread, right? The bread of life, right? And John 4:16. No, where am I here?
John 4:14.
Oh, okay. So here, listen to this. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she said, oh, this is the woman at the well. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. And then, you know, Jesus says, I'm the water, right? He's the water. We started learning this stuff a while ago, the spiritual aspect of all this stuff, the meat, John 6:35 says, she said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh in me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's the water. He's the bread. This is what we've been looking at, the trees,
yes,
the mountains, what the reality of these things are spiritual,
yes,
but spiritual, a lot of times when people say spiritual, they think, you know, it's like Casper. But
right,
the spiritual is real.
Yes.
It's the real thing. You know, and that's what we're starting to see is when Jesus said, eat of my meat, my body, and drink of my blood, and many have turned away from him, he said, because my words are spiritual.
Right.
Eat of my words, eat of me. We're not literally like the Catholics.
Yeah, re-crucify
right, crucify him every day.
Every day,
and they eat him, and they drink his blood every day. They're crucifying him over and over again. So that's why I say to me, you can see that's why they don't understand the mysteries. Because they're not saved.
Right. Well, 1 Corinthians again.
That's right.
They are spiritually discerned.
That's
these
right.
Words are spirit, and if you do not have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit,
yep,
guiding in you into truth, and what Jesus said, if you don't have him in you,
that's right,
you cannot understand these concepts, these principles.
You're going to be judged on what you believed. I
right.
know I say that all the time, but did you believe it? This is simple. It's very simple. I'm not told I'm going to understand everything.
That's right.
I'm told, do you believe it?
Right.
And there's a lot of things in here I don't understand, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm going to be judged on.
Wherever it takes
us. That's right, wherever.
And
Wendy, I say it all the time, what he's done with me in my life through this is a 180?
Yeah.
180,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Is a 180 on a lot of things, I believe. I'm talking biblically. Oh, he took me and he said, you're going to stop trusting in these people, and I'm going to show you why. And when he started showing me this, I stopped being afraid of not agreeing with the multitude.
Right.
I'm not going to answer to John MacArthur.
Right.
I'm not going to answer to Chuck Smith. I am going to answer to Jesus Christ Almighty and say, did you believe my book?
Mm.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Well, many will come in that day
that's right.
saying, Lord, Lord.
Why, Curtis?
Because they did not believe.
That's not Mystery Babylon.
No.
That is the New Apostolic Reformation.
Yes.
That is the Dominionists. They don't believe this. I don't know if you saw the one guy. He's standing up there and he's waving his Bible around. We're going to win this country back for Christ. We're going to win. We're going to get back. We're going to a war. We're in a war with Jezebel. And he's waving it. He never opened it once.
Yeah.
He's just waving it around for an hour. He never once opened it.
Or even spoke scripture.
That's right. That's right, because they want what they want.
Mm-hmm. I saw that in a few clips where the Bible is almost a prop.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll swim with it.
Yep.
They'll walk with it.
Yes.
They never talk about scripture.
It's right.
Right.
A prop.
You know?
A prop. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And when they do quote a Kev, it's the wrong version.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so looking at the mysteries of Christ, Exodus 25. I think I got it here, but turn to John. So listen to Exodus 25:8-9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So he's giving them a commandment on how to make the tabernacle.
The pattern.
The pattern of it.
Now, not the one on the earth.
That's right.
This is not the pattern of the tent that followed them.
That's forever, right.
That they moved with. But this is a picture of a heavenly reality.
That's right.
Made in physical form, like a mountain, like a tree.
That's
like
right. The true, the spiritual aspect of all these things. Go ahead, Kev.
Representation of the inner man.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
With the cell structure and
yes.
the walls.
Oh.
And the whole
yes.
The whole law.
It's no coincidence.
It's no coincidence.
It's
perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. In heaven, you have 24 ribs around your four-chambered heart.
Yes.
Right. In heaven, you have 24 elders around the throne of God.
Chambers.
Right. It's not, Doug knows about this stuff. I've only scratched the surface of
it.
The
rings that held
yes.
the curtain.
Everything.
The curtain.
Every detail. Every detail
yeah.
is there, and it represents
the
spiritual.
Law,
it's right. There's thunder and lightning
yeah.
in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your heart?
Bye-bye.
Boom, boom. Thunder and lightning.
By, it is run by electrical.
It's right.
Water,
it's right.
Right. The temple yeah. Of the Holy Ghost, yeah. Which is in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not your own.
You have the brachial. You have the brachial lungs. If you turn them upside down, they look like a menorah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This this is not.
Not a coincidence. Definitely not a coincidence.
So if we turn them upside down, it looks like menorah. But if you see them from heaven, it's
right. Upside down. Good point. Okay. So John 2:18-22, and the Jews said unto him, "What sign showest thus unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this tabernacle.
Right.
Yep. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up."
I love the scripture.
Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. 46. Why does your Bible say 46 days?
It's DNA.
It's right. 23 for mommy, 23 from daddy, and you have 46, and your Bible says that.
Yeah.
This is way before anybody knew about 46 chromosomes.
Yeah, couldn't even know what a chromosome.
They had no idea, and yet, why doesn't it say 47? You know, or about 40? Right?
Well,
yeah.
Years ago, or whatever.
But Wendy, think of the timing here. That this thing was built 46 years ago, and he just happens to come on the scene. Right?
And that's 1 Corinthians 3:6.
Come on.
1 Corinthians 6:19. Yep. There's like three direct witnesses.
That's there. Right.
Yep.
That thing, I'm telling you right now, we've studied this before. There's not going to be a millennial temple. There's not. We are the millennial temple. Where am I? John 15:4-10.
Okay, can I just?
Yeah.
Okay, you're saying there we're not watching for a temple to be built?
No. They're going to build a temple.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying when Christ comes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So they're going to be a brick and mortar.
Yeah, they're going to build. Oh, Wendy, they're going to build something.
I thought that you were saying it wasn't. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
John what?
Because that's what the Dominionists say, that Christ is going to build a temple during the 1,000 years. Okay. That he's going to build this, and there's going to be sacrifices in there. And we study that. You know, we've looked at it. He's going to sacrifice for himself? Christ is a sinner now?
He's already sacrificed.
Right? It's done. It's over. For 1 Corinthians, where am I?
Well, that's what those last three words
were. You're in John 15:4-10.
That's what those last three words were. It is finished.
It is finished.
Oh,
that's right.
1 Corinthians 4.
Yeah.
Or 3, right? And
so, where am I?
John 14. 15.
15. John 15. Okay. Somebody there?
I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. John 15:4-10, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
So the true temple is abiding in the temple. And he calls us, Kevin said it, we could go on and on studying the temple here. He said, is not your body the temple of God?
Yeah.
We're the temple, the building that makes up, and he's the head of it. He's the temple. He says in Revelation that you can sit in my throne as I sit in my Father's throne. I don't understand these things, but I believe it.
Well, the temple and the tabernacle. After they finished the tabernacle, Moses prayed, and then the Spirit of God, the God himself, descended into it in a pillar of fire. same thing happens to an individual. Our temple, our tabernacle is built, but when we don't really become alive, we don't become useful until the power of God actually dwells in the temple.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the tabernacle. You know, this little place that we live right now. So again, these pictures. Yeah.
So I got it right here. Look, I wanted to bring this one up. The true tabernacle. All those were a picture of the tabernacle. The true tabernacle is in Hebrews 8, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have an high priest.
Yes.
Who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle of the Lord pitched and not man. The Lord made it. The Lord made it, not man with brick and stone and chisels, not that kind of a building, not that kind of a tabernacle, but the true temple, building of God made that were being built on the foundation stones of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the head cornerstone. And then we're just a building. What are we? We're lively stones.
Right.
Lively stones. Yep. We're the stones on top of stones on top of stones building a true tabernacle. I thank God that He is opening these things up to us.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, most what we're doing here, most churches won't touch. They won't touch this stuff. And why would you not want this?
I had mentioned some of this, and I was told by a buddy of written, just kind of going on email. He called it esoteric, a little esoteric. And I thought, esoteric?
Give it a name.
Esoteric, like the spiritual flimsiness. No, it's
scripture.
Direct scripture.
That's right.
And it's got witnesses.
That's right.
I mean, it's not just one, it's
right.
A witness.
That's right. One,
you know?
We're told to come off the milk.
God dwells in the hearts of men.
That's right.
The mystery, you know?
See, when you don't like something, call it a name.
Huh?
Yeah. Call it a name when you don't like something.
Yeah. The more you want people to be confused, use more silent letters.
Yeah.
How many silent letters are in esoteric?
Use a big word. Use a big word to right? Yeah.
Confuse the common man. We can make it sound, let's just add words and letters to it.
You know, you're saying that, you're kidding, that's what the faith is exactly. The when they use words that are above the average person's vocabulary,
then
the average person, rather than saying, no, talk to me.
Right.
Instead, they say, well, I must be stupid. I guess I just can't understand.
Are you looking it up for me?
No.
Oh, shucks.
Esoteric?
Oh, esoteric is just...
Oh, no, I don't need to know what it means. I want to know how many silent letters are in it.
Oh,
S-O-E-S-O? I don't think any.
So it's probably Greek, isn't it?
Let's move on. Judges. So you see this again in Judges.
Right.
Judges 13, if you want to turn there. Judges 13. I love this stuff. You know, the people that say Jesus Christ is not God, never claimed to be God.
Well, it's they don't everywhere.
It is everywhere.
I'm sorry, what chapter?
Judges 13. 13. I love this. We're going to read this. Judges 15. Everybody there?
13.
You want to get your scripture right.
Don't go by what I say. Go by the screen. 13:15. Right?
18.
Well, you see it there. I don't know why I have it there. You can tell I'm not getting this from anybody. I actually do the work. okay, so 15. 13:15.
Yeah.
And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. He's talking to the angel of the Lord. I pray thee, let us detain thee, and we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy sayings, when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is
secret.
Old Testament is a secret.
Yeah.
And Manoah took the kid with meat offering and offered it upon the rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces. Yeah. Fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife, that Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. So, but listen, it's not just an angel, what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God.
Yeah.
But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering. So they offered to him too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't offer to anybody but God.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Burnt offering or with meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. Ah, oh, boy. Not would at this time have told such as these. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. So Samson, it's a picture. I know Samson's track record.
Yeah.
How many locks did Samson have on his head?
Seven.
Well, Holy Spirit. What happened when they cut the locks off?
It was gone. His power
right?
was gone.
The power was in the locks.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. I think you said it. He was probably my size.
Right, yeah.
We got Samson like Hulk Hogan or something.
Right.
He was probably my size. And he's ripping people apart. They cut the spirit off of him.
Right. Yeah,
and then it grew. And
yeah.
He's holding in between the pillars. And he smashes him. And the Bible says that Samson killed more at his death than he did at the living.
Right.
More of his enemies. What did Christ do? He killed our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
He killed our enemies when they spread his hands out.
No
the
man
other,
took his life.
It's right.
The other interesting thing is that the spirit grew in the midst of his affliction.
It's
yeah.
right.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about him killing all those Philistines for his...
Yeah, his eyes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I was struck
yep.
as being kind of...
Yeah.
Ooh. There wasn't... Samson was a mixed bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
The symbolic things that were... Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know.
But don't forget, too, he's also got two gates, and he's going up a mountain.
Yeah.
The gates of hell were not going to prevail against it. So, I mean, it's just... I see, I understand, look, they're all flawed. David, type of Christ, flawed. Solomon, type of Christ, flawed. They're all flawed, but they're all types of Christ.
But if they were perfect, then we would be bowing down
to Samson. Right, amen. Right. Yes.
Good, Alan.
Yeah.
I like that one. I just, they're beside themselves. They speak with God. Well, God's going to kill us. No, he's not going to kill us. He loves us.
Yeah.
Right?
The same thing.
Yeah. 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 Doesn't it put you there?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I start reading that and I'm like, oh, I love it. Okay. So, grace and salvation. I don't know. Okay. So, I don't know. Let's look at this. Oh, yeah. So, Colossians. Turn to Colossians. One. Okay, everybody there?
Amen.
Okay, 1:25-29. Yeah, I like this. This is good stuff right here. I almost want to pick it up somewhere else, but we'll start here. 1:25. Wherefore I am made a minister to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He's dispensing God's grace. It's not a time period. Okay, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you,
mm-hmm.
the hope of glory.
Amen.
Right? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So there it is. What's it say about the Gentiles? How are you going to save the Jews? We're saying, how are you going to save them? They're a bunch of pagan worshipers. Now, you know what we do now? We go, how are you going to save the Jews? They're most Jews are secular. But it was always a mystery that God was going to reach out to the Gentiles, but now it's made manifest. When? When Christ appeared. Ephesians 1. Yeah, I got to read the whole thing.
That's where we're preaching today, so walk tread softly. Are you going to talk about the ends? In him, in whom, in one, in heaven, in who, in Christ?
No. Well, yeah, I'll leave it for you. We'll go to two. I'll leave that for you.
No, you can go, because I'm sure we're going to be different.
All right, so Paul...
Yeah, you're going to run out of time in 5 minutes. You ain't making
it. Yeah. It works out anyway. We'll finish up here with Ephesians 1, then 2, 3 through 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. An apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God.
Yeah.
Not by the will of man.
The last apostle.
The last apostle. Christ chose him.
Right.
He saw him physically, and Christ single-handedly picked him. There are no apostles.
Right.
Remember Patty, Kev? They not only had an apostle at her church, the apostle was a she.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She apostle.
Yeah. Yep. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. John MacArthur says we're not saved by his blood. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There's the mystery. He's telling you the mystery. He's going to gather all the saints together when the fullness of time comes. When is that? When he appears in the cloud.
Count all the times the word "in" is used.
That's right.
Chapter 1.
That's right.
In, all the way through it. Count them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I got them circled in my Bible.
In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. What is our inheritance?
Christ.
Christ? Resurrected body? Earthly kingdom? Or a heavenly one?
Heavenly.
Right? That's what they look for. That's what the forefathers looked for. They didn't look for an earthly Israel. They looked for a heavenly one. Whom we have obtained an inheritance of being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be appraised of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after ye believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So 2:3-9, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy and great in love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, who had raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now in the ages to come, that he might show exceeding riches in grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's the mystery. You never saved. They were never saved by works.
Right.
Because they'll tell you this, Curtis. Oh, they were saved by keeping the law and by... No, they weren't. They never kept the law. They were saved if they believed. And then they attempted to keep the law.
Abraham
was believed. Let's finish.
Go ahead, Alan.
For we are a workmanship created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained, and we should walk in them.
Amen.
There's the mystery. The mysteries are being revealed to us. That's why the people we're talking about, they want this world. They want their Christianity, they want the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life of this world, and they're going to call it Christianity. You know, that God, the prosperity people, that God's blessing you, you know, with money.
Oh, he owes it to me.
He owes it to me. That's right. And you even saw, I saw one time Joyce Meyer said, they asked her about her $20,000 toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And she said, well, I deserve it. God, I do God's work. She got $20,000 gold toilet. A pastor of God. Am I missing something? See, they're the ones. But here's my point. They're the ones that are fighting against transgenders.
Yeah.
Against, right, Operation Underground. All these things, they're lining up with us. We hate that stuff too. But they're saying, we're going to win that battle. And we're going to win this world over for Christ. Then he's coming. We have two enemies. Obviously, Mystery Babylon, the wickedness of this world, the spirit of Satan that works through this world, and the ones that call themselves our brothers that say, no, you got it wrong. We're going to take this country. We're going to take dominion of the world. And then Christ will come and hand out rewards to everybody. And Curtis, you could rule over Caledonia.
Wait, you gave that to Wendy earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-rulers.
Yeah.
Co-rulers.
Don't take her stuff. I don't like Caledonia. How do you rule over the Catholic
Okay? Is it good?
Amen.
Amen.
Great study.
Lord, thank you. Thank you that it's your words that speak. It's through scriptures that talk. It's not the doctrines of men. Thank you that you meet us here, Lord, and you're just looking for faithful people, faithful servants that believe every word. Lord, we know we don't understand everything. We're never told to understand everything, but that these words are perfect and we believe them. And what we see, Lord, we see liars coming. We see wolves in sheep's clothing coming. And they seem to be fighting the same battles we are, Lord. But their agenda is they want a worldly kingdom. Lord, open our eyes to it. Cause us not to be fooled. Because you even said in Matthew that if it's possible, that the things that are coming could deceive the very elect. What if this thing does not play out the way everybody thinks it is, and there's going to be a world of wickedness, but there's going to be seem a righteousness coming, a false righteousness that is setting up the Antichrist kingdom. Lord, we don't know. But what we do know that as long as we take heed to the scriptures, that you will teach us these things. And you will prepare us for what's coming. Father God, I do lift up Curtis, Lord. I pray for him to just keep moving us aside. Just use our mouths as vessels to preach this perfect word and to move in each and every saint's heart. Enlarge our hearts. Draw us nearer to you. Let us not put the faith in doctrines of men, but in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which is the King James Bible. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This is a fun Bible study.
Just push it back. It doesn't matter. We're not using the black words.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.